Welcome to the 23 podcast, in which me and my dad will be sharing our sometimes similar and sometimes differing perspectives on music and pop culture.
I'm DJ Ambush the father.
And I'm Zion Logan the son.
And welcome to 23 podcast. It's part two out this John.
Two of two.
Two of two. So normally we'd start out talking about, hey, so what have you been doing since the last episode?
But we already did that.
So this is what I want to do instead of that. Part two. What popped in my head when I took the bathroom break.
Yes.
I was like, part two of the Woo. And I started thinking about the Woo.
Right.
Then I started thinking about the TV shows.
Yes.
Zion, what have you been watching? One. Two, have you watched Wu-Tang and American Saga yet?
No, like I've been screamed at so many times because I haven't.
From different people?
Yeah. Because I haven't tuned into the Wu-Tang, the show. Zion. All right. Like, I know I'm sleeping on it. I know. But... Mm-hmm. There's something with me that I have this weird thing where I don't like.
But everyone else likes when they like it?
Not even that. Okay. I think that was me when I was like a hipster. Remember when I was like 13 and I just hated anything popular? That was me then.
Right.
Me now, I just really am not here. It's not that I'm not here for it. I guess I'm just like, the fact that it's a reenactment, mm-hmm. like with not.
Like
the fact that it is a reenactment,
yeah,
it's just kind of like it distracts me because it just makes me feel like I'm just watching, like I'm not attaching Wu-Tang with this, like I just feel like these are like some kids and they're like
playing Wu-Tang,
right?
Okay,
so I'm still gonna check it out because I know it's solid and I know it has to be good.
Yo, it's super solid. And for people that grew up, like people in my age group that grew up and Wu-Tang wasn't a thing at some point, and we watched it become a thing. Like, it's really, it's a unique circumstance for me, for my kids to have been born into a world where Wu-Tang was solidified and existed as a part of hip-hop culture.
Right.
And culture in general. Like, you just, like, Wu was just pop culture. Everyone did, it's not like, and not taking shots at any other group, but it's not like I'm saying P-Rock and CL Smooth. It's not like I'm saying Boot Camp Click. There's something about Wu-Tang. You say Wu-Tang, people of every ethnicity is like, oh, the Wu, throw your W's up, Wu-Tang. Everyone starts chanting. Like,
no, they're international.
Yeah.
Ross has Wu-Tang crop tops.
Hello. Ross has Wu-Tang crop tops, people. So yeah, that show, I feel you. There are some things that might not hit you this, well, I won't say might not, definitely won't hit you the same way it hit me.
Right.
Within the first minute, I remember watching the first episode and I saw a four-door MPV. It's this sports utility that was really huge with us back in the day for a number of reasons. But when I saw the four-door MPV in the first episode, like in one of the first scenes, I was like, okay, no, they're doing it like that's such a small detail that means so much to us.
Okay,
so
the attention to detail.
Yeah, so the whole point of the four-door MPV is,
yes,
back in the days, you ride around with all your boys in the car.
Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha.
And minivans weren't necessarily cool,
but spacious.
But they were spacious. And the MPV had kind of like a boxed feel. So it was a mixture between like a minivan and kind of like a old school Range Rover. Mm. It was boxed like that. The best part about it, absolute best part, it wasn't like a three-door minivan where you had to slide the one open and everything. No. Right. It was a four-door. Four doors open. Everyone's out at the same time. So if we're
stepping out,
if we're in the mix, we're about to mix.
Right.
Everyone can be on the scene at the exact moment.
Click.
Yeah.
Click vibes.
It goes down. So yeah, to see that, I was like, oh shit. Great job, guys. So yeah, so okay.
I've been watching.
So finished that. Can't wait for the second season. It's not guaranteed, but the way they ended it, you could stop right there and it's an amazing story. But there's definitely set up in a way that the second season will be so much more amazing. And I was talking to, we reviewed it on the podcast Has No Name. And Castro and MJ were like, you know, they were kind of likening it to the New Edition story and the Jackson story. And I'm like, no, y'all got to understand, the way this show is going, this could be 5-6 seasons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The pace and everything. Because like halfway through it, Castro was like, well, how are they going to close this thing out? Like, how are we going to get to them forming Wu? And I'm like, none of, there's no need to rush this.
Right, and then I'm assuming, like, based off of where they started as well. Like,
yeah.
Where
they started the thing. Yeah, like, there's no need to rush it. Except on top of that, what we're seeing, like I want to say maybe, like, episode five, they're mentioning other MCs and other groups that existed around that time. Like, they're talking about, like, there's a point when Old Dirty Bastard talks about being in high school with Tribe Called Quest.
Oh, wow.
And battling them. So at this point in the story, Tribe just got a record deal with Jive Records.
Gotcha.
And he's mentioning that. So I'm like,
yeah, there's a lot going on.
I'm like, there's no need to rush. I want this to play all the way out to Old Dirty Bastard at the MTV Awards saying Wu-Tang is for the babies. Wu-Tang is for the children. I'm like, let all of that play out. I'm like, this could be a dope show. I said, also, we've never had this for a hip-hop show.
True.
We have never really had this, like, as a docu-series or, you know, whatever you would, a mini-series. We've never had a mini-series. We've never had a biographical mini-series turn into an actual show with seasons. Like,
right. In hip-hop.
This could be amazing. So definitely check that out. Like I said, watching Watchmen. We got Disney Plus now. I don't know if you've noticed.
Yeah, I peeped.
Okay.
Peep. Yeah. Everybody's going crazy about Disney Plus.
We plussing.
Right now.
We plussing around here.
Plus down.
So all the Marvel content, all the Star Wars content. It's a lot. There's a lot going on.
See, me, I feel like I'm just like a straight up lunatic. I have this thing where I'll find something that I like watching, and I'll just keep watching it over and over again until it's like, I just like remember every, like, I don't tire of it. It's right. The weirdest thing. Like, ever since I was a kid, like, I watched like Forrest Gump over and over and over and over again. And just,
but you,
like,
love it.
Right.
So, yeah.
So now I'm like, before I started school, I come home from work and just like watch Euphoria. This is when it first came out. This is what, like, August, September.
Mm-hmm.
I watch Euphoria. I'd watch this, the sketch comedy series on Netflix called I Think You Should Leave.
That does sound familiar.
Oh, for the past, 2 years now, I've just been like randomly on and off shuffle watching Shameless. I like, I started it, binged all the way into the sixth season, got distracted by nothing, took a 2-year break. And ever since then, it's just like, oh, I'm like this. Like, I don't care about anything. I'm just going to watch any episode because, you know, I just love this show anyway. Yeah. I don't need to keep up a timeline. What's that?
We already know Frank's going to do something ridiculous.
Right. So I've just been randomly watching, just, I don't know, one night I'm on season 6. The next I'm back down to 3.
Right.
Like, just doing anything.
It's like the only way to really gauge where you are. It's how old, what's the son's name?
Carl?
No, the youngest.
Oh, not Ian, not Carl.
Right, something,
Liam?
Liam? No.
Liam?
Liam?
Yeah.
Is Liam the youngest?
I think.
It's Liam. I think it is Liam.
Yeah, he's the black kid,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
you know what? Something I was watching this last night, and I'm like,
they swapped the kids at one point too.
That's one, and two. I'm like, why did the black kid have to be the one who like got into like your bag of coke, and he has like brain damage forever? Like, Liam's like messed up forever because he snorted a bag of coke when he was like 3.
Jesus, Liam.
That show is like so much
full mess. Listen, it's triggering in some ways. There are some episodes I remember watching it. So whatever the last season is, I think I need to watch that to catch up, or maybe the last 2 seasons. But I remember getting to a point that I was just like, oh, God. I don't know if I could do another episode.
Yeah, because I'm just like, who thinks
so
of this?
So stressed out.
And whose experiences were these?
Seriously. Like, everything Lip goes through was just like, bruh.
Oh, my God.
Bruh. Yeah.
The fact, like, but then sometimes he gets on my nerves, though.
Oh, yeah. He messes up a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They all do. They all do. True. Yeah. It's a great show. It's a great show, guys. I'm sure you're watching Shameless out there. As far as watching the same thing over and over again, I used to do the same thing with Snatch, that movie. I started watching it on VHS. Mm-hmm. Then I own it on, I think I own two copies of it on DVD, like a box edition. And I can't get enough of that movie.
Yeah.
Then they made a TV show and I refused to watch it. Because I know they're going to mess it. I know it's messed up. It's on Amazon. It's no. It didn't need a TV show. Leave it alone.
Yeah, I feel like certain things just need to be left be. Like they're trying to make another Set It Off.
Yeah, remake, huh?
Yeah, with Issa Rae.
I'm gonna watch it, but I'm not expecting. You know, there's a lot of reimaginings going on.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, or I feel like maybe we're just like kind of bored, mm-hmm. or like kind of just like out of ideas.
Or maybe let's look at it this way: these movies are being recognized for the gems they were back then, and the opportunity to reimagine them.
Yeah,
it's just that. You know, paying tribute or homage to them.
Yeah,
look at it like that.
I feel like that's a large part of what it is too.
Yeah. All right. So now, let's talk about these five songs.
Yes.
So, the five songs you gave me: Clario, Impossible, Shauna Bass. There's a bass. Bass.
I think it's Bass.
Shauna Bass. Worth It. Kate Bollinger. I cannot pronounce this. This is French.
Yeah.
Je reverai et toi.
I feel like you're pretty close.
Okay. All right. Booyaka. finish it off with some patois. How you doing? Lakim, Rent For, and Kim, Love Calls. Zion.
Ah.
When I saw Love Calls on there, I was like,
this song and my life is such a funny story.
Give it to me.
This song used to be the root of so much, like, just chaos in my life.
Why?
As a kid.
Why?
So, mom would be, like, downstairs, like, typing.
Right.
Or just, like, working on stuff from work. And she would leave the CD on for me to sleep to. And when I tell you that for... Not, I like, there's nothing that I can like pinpoint and be like, you know, this is why this scared the shit out of me as a kid. But whenever Love Calls would come on, like, I would get so scared. I would have the worst nightmares. Like, if I couldn't reach like the DVD thing to turn the CD off, I'm going downstairs. Like, Kim used to scare the shit out of me in general. Like, I don't know if it was like his voice or just like the content. I don't know.
I'm dying.
But it was just so like sinister to me.
It was spooky and eerie as a kid.
Cause and I can't escape. Like, I don't know. It's like, because he's like, you know, he's talking about like you can't hide. Like just like hearing that at night. Hearing that at night as a kid, like, used to scare me, like...
There's nowhere to hide.
Yeah, like, I'm like...
When love's calling your
name. Yeah, like, it was just, like, alarming for me as a kid, I guess. I couldn't take it.
Oh, my God.
But now, like, I totally love Kim, and I'm, like, revisiting his stuff, and I can...
Yo.
I can listen to it in the dark now. I'm adulting.
You're adulting. You can listen to Kim. Yo, so Kim came right at the cusp, at the end of what would be... Excuse me, a hard line, a hard classification for neo soul. Like, it was to the point where neo soul artists were getting tired of the phrase and the classification. And Kim came in with this damn song, and it was the most smooth thing.
Right.
Like, it is what? What is this? And he cemented himself in that 30 to 40 year old. Late 30, early 40, music fan. It was like this one song, boom, he was minted. It was like this song was 10 years worth of music. It hit so hard that it was like, oh, anything he does now. So he's on all the boats, the Tom Joyner boat party. Like, it's Kim.
That just sounds like a dream, doesn't it, though?
Yeah.
To just be like, I'm just like, I'm 55 and I'm on this boat and Kim is like serenading me and my wife.
Listen, I swear, and I would like people to challenge me on this. I feel like as a DJ playing this music out here, when Kim came out, this song hit so hard, it put him at Maxwell's level immediately. Mm. Like, it was like, boom. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he can do this too. It was, man. So when I saw it on your list, I was like, wow.
Yeah, like, I saw, like, I think somebody that I follow on Instagram was listening to Kim, and I was like, wow, Kim, I want to know if I can listen to this in the dark now. Because
you found out you could.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, like, I'm not traumatized. I don't feel like I should turn this off.
So I'm gonna jump around this list.
Okay.
I'm gonna talk about Sharna Bass.
Interested to hear what you have to say about this.
Her writing is super dope. Mm-hmm. You know I'm here for the Brits.
Yes.
I love me some Brits. She's my new obsession.
Wow.
I love her.
Wow.
Yeah. So much. Not that this is a huge thing to do. Mm-hmm. I had assignments. I had to listen to more music, but I did see there's a song called Bust a Nine. And, you know, you're talking about busting nines. I want to hear this song. What's Sharna talking about?
Period.
Boom. I'm in. I love it. So, yeah, I'm going to be listening to Sharna throughout this next week. I'm going to be editing her music.
Yes.
Find some clean versions. Put that shit in rotation.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Strangely enough, I only know about this one song. She was.
How'd you come across it?
My Apple playlist again.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a playlist.
Yeah, like, so it's like sometimes they're really good. Like, when they're good, they're really good. When it's bad, it's just like, who was this for?
Right. Who are you?
Like, why are you like even stalking me if this isn't gonna be like grade A?
So, Clario, Impossible. This is an excellent way to start this listening list. Mm-hmm. Love this song.
Yeah.
Those drums really drive the track for me.
Yes.
Yeah, that's no surprise. Excellent vocals. And yeah, I want more. I'm intrigued. And I really love the keys on this too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like this song.
Yeah, this was one of those songs like that Billie Eilish song. Where I was like, whoa, like this hit me in the chest, and I'm actually like kind of emotional and I feel kind of sad listening to this.
Right.
Yeah, this song made me really sad when I first heard it. I love it.
I love it. Okay, Kate Bollinger. Je revois et toi.
You're better at this than me.
It's relaxing, although I had no idea what she's saying.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
I love this song. Like, when I'm, like, doing homework or, like, trying to relax or, like, fall asleep, I love to listen to her stuff. Like, I'll just, like, put it on shuffle.
You know what it reminds me of? It, from a production standpoint, it reminds me of one of those study playlists with the lo-fi hip-hop beats.
Yes.
Okay, and then Lakim, Rent For. Beat dope as hell.
Yes.
It has me curious. I want to hear more from him.
Yeah.
I definitely want to hear more from this artist. And when that beat changed up, the drums started doubling. I wanted more of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I may play with this track a little bit.
Yeah, like, even it's like it's not like one of those songs where it's like, yeah, I'm gonna turn this, like, I can't wait to listen to this song.
But when it comes on,
yeah, like, it's like I'm always here for it when I hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like, I've just been like hearing it on SoundCloud, like, just like SoundCloud mixes is
okay.
Like, I keep running into it. So I
interesting.
Just Siri'd it. It's on Apple.
I wonder how old is this song, do you know?
I don't know.
Not that old. All right. So for you, I gave you, I cannot pronounce this. Who are they? How you pronounce this?
Karambin.
Karambin.
Yes.
Maria Tambien. Yeah, so that was one. I gave you Coffee Toast.
Yes.
Free National Shibuya. Denzel Curry Shawshank.
You really like this song? Because yes, this was on your list. Like, I think an episode ago. Yeah, an episode
is
ago.
Is it?
Yes.
I did it twice?
Yeah, but I feel like this is perfectly. I feel like this is allowed. I was like, wow, he really
he's
likes
still listening
the song.
To it.
Yeah.
And Drake, No Telling. I didn't realize I already had this one on the list. That's hilarious. Okay. So, yeah, what'd you think?
I feel like the love for Karan Ben is, you know, goes without being said. I found out about them, I think, yeah, last year when I was working at Ross, like, over just during the Holiday Madness, they played their song Friday Morning.
Okay, yeah.
And I've been stuck, like, ever since. Like, I just feel like they're another one of those artists where their music is just, like, perfect for any time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I had it on the night when I was cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah, Maria Tembin. I heard that song. It came on when I put on, I was playing some Toro on YouTube. And the playlist just rolled into it. And I was like, what is going on right now?
Yeah.
And I stayed there for a while.
Yeah.
I love
them. Draw you in.
Yeah. I went on Facebook and shared the video and tagged a couple people. Tagged my homie on John Morrison and Lil Dave from Excellent Reception. John Morrison is from Serious Rap Shit Podcast, him and Josh. And I tagged both of them because they're music aficionados. And I'm like, am I late to the party? What is going on here? And Lil Dave was like, you don't know about them? And John was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never heard of these people. But yeah,
yeah,
super, super dope.
And then coffee. So this is my introduction to coffee.
Mine too.
After hearing it, I had to look into her. And I really, like, more than anything, I really love her voice.
Yes.
Like her, I feel like her voice is bringing like something new to music. Like, yes. I don't know anybody who sounds like her. Like her tone and her infliction was really interesting.
She just caught a nomination too.
A Grammy?
Yeah.
Wow.
She just caught a nomination. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I came across this right before I went to DC for that Music Forum Summit, and I shared it with your uncle Femi in the car. I was like, you gotta listen to this song.
Too. Yeah, she's my age.
Is she?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I watched an interview of hers.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Is she here in the U.S. or is she still in the islands?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Amazing.
And then we have Free Nationals and Sid. So I'm just getting like familiar with Free Nationals.
Uh-huh.
And they've been putting out like solid, like a lot of solid content over the past few weeks or like to month.
A month, yeah.
I first heard about them when they released the posthumous. Release. It had Mac Miller on it and Kali Uchis.
Yeah.
And ever since, I've just been like seeing them do like singles.
Yeah.
And it's always solid.
Yeah, this is Anderson's band.
Wow.
Yeah.
That Anderson Pop?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
This is his band. Yep. Yep. Yeah, they're incredible. They're incredible. So I guess we don't need to discuss Denzel Curry, Shawshank.
We do not.
We discussed it 2 episodes ago. Drake, no telling.
All right. So.
Give it to me.
This is the Drake that I really do not prefer. You know? I'm not all that much. I feel like I'm just to the point where, as though, like, there's been a lot of years now where I've tolerated performative Drake. You know, the Drake who talks about carrying a switchblade and, you know, avoiding police questioning, you know. And I just feel like, you know, I can do without this Drake. I'll take R&B and emo Drake. I'll take him because I feel like that's the real Drake.
Oh, my God.
Like, it always seems much. It's like I listened to this because I honestly forgot about No Telling.
Uh-huh.
And I listened to it and I heard him talk like a switchblade and, you know, avoiding cop questioning. Like, it's like, this is not your life. Like, this is not you, Drake. And it's like, there's a lot of rappers who rap about stuff and it's not them.
But it's like
I've seen you emo. You do not carry a switchblade knife going to talk to people. Like, you don't cut people, Drake. So it just makes it kind of laughable. Like, I can't take performative Drake anymore.
Oh, God. Okay. I completely relate.
But it still goes hard.
This was my issue. It goes hard.
I just have to forget that it's Drake.
Yeah.
I just have to, like, listen to it and just be like, oh, this is a nice song by Anonymous.
Yeah, I used to say the same thing, especially to Drake fans. I'm like, y'all believe him? If you don't, I can't take him seriously, all this tough talk.
I think that's what kills me even more, is that Nobody believes this. I don't even feel like that's why I'm like, I don't even think Drake believes it or wants us to believe it or is making an effort to convince us. Convince us.
Because you never hear about him doing anything. Right. He's never in the news. He's never smacked anyone with a bottle.
He's never anything.
No scuffles, no nothing.
That's why I'm like, okay, so this is performative Drake. This is Drake. Like, Drake, you know that this is, we know this is not you. Like, this is cool. Like, this is, you're going to do your little song where you talk about having a knife. All right. Like, get it out of your system, I guess.
Not your little song. Oh, my God. Okay. All right. I have caught my breath. Zion is taking me around the block.
I'm sorry.
It's been full cardio. Album assignments. You gave me Black Party.
Yes.
Mango. I gave you The Roots. Do you want more? Black Party, Mango. When I first Googled him, I heard he was a Childish Gambino cosign.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. Mm-hmm.
I listened to this project. I have three songs and an honorable mention. I really love the writing. I really love his writing. Mm-hmm. Love his voice. My three top songs, Swang My Way.
Yes.
Bloom. And I Hope You Know.
Yes. There's like, this whole thing is just like a cut. Like, there's not one. There's not a low point for me.
Nah. It was tough. My honorable mention is Wanderlust.
Yep.
But I think Bloom is probably my favorite. It's between Bloom and Swing My Way.
I feel it.
It's just a three-way tie. I love all three of those songs.
Yeah, it's really hard to choose, but Low End, that song is like stuck with me for a minute.
Okay.
Now, like even before I listened to the project in its entirety, Low End was one of my favorite songs. And then Wanderlust.
Mm-hmm.
And then Best View.
Okay.
I really like Best
View. That's what we had the video for. Best View.
See, it's crazy. I've gotten so used to people just like casually not dropping videos anymore. From like, it just went from, I got like that little preview moment of like growing up and like waiting for that
video
to drop at the top of the hour to like just noticing that people just don't do it anymore. So I'll just like straight up know a whole album for like a year and then be like, oh wait, there's videos, like,
and then
whoa.
And then you discover the entire album has videos,
right and it's like, so when did we start doing these again?
y'all like doing videos now,
right?
Nowhere to play them. Well, y'all like doing videos now. Okay. The Roots, Do You Want More? Zion, what did you think of that album?
I love this. Like, I love this project. From just like start to finish, like there's like skits and it just gives me everything that I like want from a jazz hip hop fusion project.
Mm-hmm.
My top three were You Ain't Fly,
Woo!
Silent Treatment,
oh,
and What Goes On Part 7.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, Silent Treatment is a hip hop classic.
Mm.
Silent Treatment is a hip hop classic. It's definitely like a Philadelphia staple. There are like three remixes to Silent Treatment. I have the vinyl remixes. Like, Silent Treatment is that work, and it's definitely on my list. First Roots song I heard was Distortion Static.
Mm.
Still one of my favorite Roots songs. This is their first like official release. They had an album before this called Organics, but this was like their first official release.
Gotcha.
Do You Want More is top of the list. My absolute favorite Roots song in their entire discography. This album got so much burn from me when it first came out. Like, cassette. This is me walking around, headphones, you know, in the car, like anywhere I could take it, I took it with me. Honorable mention, Lazy Afternoon. Mm. Lazy Afternoon was such a creative song to me. One, because, you know, I feel like because they switched the beat up, it's three verse song. They switched the production, they switched the beat for each verse.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's spinning the exact same verse each time. I'd never heard anything like that before.
Yeah, and it's five minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're just spitting the same verse again. So by the time we get to the end of the song, I know this verse. Right. Because I've heard you say it three piercing. Times. Yeah. And he's changing his delivery and flow each time. Like, it really just like showed a level of creativity that we weren't used to seeing from hip hop. Mm-hmm. Then part of that is because this is a band and they can do whatever the hell they want. They're not locked into anything. That swing is just there. So
I also love how it's like the slang and the skits and just like how they're talking. It's very clearly of its time.
Yeah.
But it's still like timeless enough to like work now.
Yeah.
Like I don't like listening to it. I didn't feel like I'm listening to like an old album. Like it was still very refreshing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The funny. So, a dope thing about You Ain't Fly. Well, I mean, this is the Roots. They're currently on Jimmy Fallon. Mm-hmm. Back in Jimmy Fallon. There's a verse on You Ain't Fly that's actually Questlove, the drummer, rapping.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he didn't do much rapping, I guess.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah. But yeah, yeah. All right. I'm glad you liked it.
I really enjoyed it.
So for an assignment this time around, I have for you Mos Def and Talib Kweli are Black Star. So their supremely lauded album. Like, this is the album that the entire hip-hop community and world has waited for, the part two to that. And that part two has been dangled over our heads forever. And just as recent as a couple of months ago, we got confirmation that it's done. And then here's the crazy part. Like earlier today, so within the weekend, Madlib does an interview and he's like, yeah, we're dropping Bandana 2. That's done. And oh yeah, I heard the new Black Star album. That's done too.
Oh wow.
The Black Star album's complete. I believe he produced it.
Like, oh, by the way.
By the way, I'm done with the Black Star album.
Nice.
Yeah, this is a throwback to what we went through with J Electronica and Just Blaze. Oh yeah, that project's done. Jay-Z. Oh yeah, I've heard the J Electronica project.
Like, oh yeah.
Never come out. Ever. At this point, keep it. It's like Dr. Dre's album. What was the name of it? I can't remember the name of this album that never came out. It was like, okay. And there was so much buildup from the album. We were like, I think it got to a point where he's like, I can't put it out because what if it doesn't meet expectations?
You can't do that.
But Dr. Dre is a super perfectionist.
Okay. Like, well, yeah.
He stays in his head that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it. I get it. What do you got for me? Album assignment.
So, I hope you haven't already listened to this, but Solange's project, When I Get Home.
No. When did this come out?
Top of the year. Around,
really?
Yeah, earlier on this year.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It didn't get as much buzz as A Seat at the Table, strangely enough. Like, I feel like she was snubbed. Like, she didn't get nominated for a Grammy or anything.
Interesting. But,
yeah, I really like this project. And I find that, like, you know, a lot of people who listen to A Seat at the Table, it's just not as much talk about this one for some reason, but...
Is the vibe pretty much the same?
I honestly feel like it's a step up. Like, it's, like, progression from...
You know what? Is this the album that she released on, like, Black Planet or something?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember thinking to myself, oh my God, Solange is about to bring Black Planet back. And then nothing happened.
Yeah, I think it was just like a little rollout thing. Yeah.
Interesting.
But I am excited to hear what you have to say about it. It has like just some pretty unexpected features on it.
Okay.
Yeah, like there's a song with Gucci. There's a song with Playboi Carti.
Stop.
Yeah, her and Pharrell. But that's not unexpected. Like, she has worked with the Neptunes from early on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But just to hear them get back together with it being, like, adult Solange. Because they have collaborations on her first project. Like, her first project.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I really like it. It's a solid
project. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this. All right, let's hop into some current events.
Yes.
T.I.
I don't know what to do with him. Cause it's like I feel like for a millisecond I actually started liking T.I. again.
Oh, I love T.I. I love T.I. Let me make this clear. I love T.I., not loved. I feel as though, let me ask you this, because this happened like almost a month ago. But you mentioned, you have it on the list, so I want to ask you, in following this, has he given an official response or anything yet?
No. I'm starting to think that this was all for some clout. Because now has a red table talk coming up at some point this week. Yeah.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, he's about to get straightened out.
Yeah.
Oh, he's about to get straightened.
I think this whole thing was like, might have been a little stunt.
So this is why I was reserving my cancel for T.I. T.I. has been, he's been very dope on the social justice side of things, on the activism side of things, music content wise. Like, I haven't been following him as far as like reality TV shit.
Right.
I do remember being frustrated with T.I. with him being out of jail and getting in what seemed like avoidable situations. It was like, right, dude, come the fuck on. Like, stay away from the cops, bro. Like, don't be doing none of that shit. So there was a bit of frustration there, but then I started seeing like honest efforts from him to be involved in activism, yeah, and taking things really seriously. And you know, he always makes good music. So when this happened, I was like, okay. What this reminded me of was like the posturing initially. What it reminded me of was those prom photos where those fathers are holding guns and they're like, you know, treat my baby right or else, like, that overprotective, super controlling and ignorant side of some fathers. And just the fact of him taking pride in sharing that information, to me, showed how misguided he was in that area.
Like,
look on your face.
Right, it's now. So it, like, this whole situation is wrong for so many reasons, and I just feel so bad for the Deja, daughter.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's like, aside from it being weird and like extremely invasive for you to one, go with her,
yeah,
without her requesting it when she's 19,
yeah,
and for you to for you to ask for something like that, and then basically back her into a corner where she has to sign a paper,
right,
where as though you're allowed to have access to that information. Right. So it's just like so much force already.
Yeah.
But let's say in some
coercion, people.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's say for whatever reason this works. Mm-hmm. Like for you and your family, like, you know, mom and dad and daughter, you guys are on board and this works. It's just like, why is this something that you share with the world? Like, why is this information that you share with everyone, especially seeing, it's like, it's almost as if he looks at it like, it's not even the daughter's business at all anymore.
Right.
Like, this just
like
becomes,
she belongs to him.
Right. Like, this is just conversation for you on a podcast, like no consideration of how she might feel or what kind of situations this might get her into or get her name and brand attached to. Like, there was like some bogus rumors going around, like tying her to Pornhub and Pornhub allegedly. Like, see, it's just like the kind of things that you get her tied into by giving such like private information and making it public.
Right.
And I don't know. It's just like to go from being relatively under the radar and, you know, T.I.'s my dad to my name being on blogs with Pornhub. Like, it's just like how much of a jolt to the system that
and,
must
and
be.
And this is like, this is what's, you know, what proved to me, well, one of the indicators to me, just how misguided his thinking was. Because this whole thing, the posture he's, you know, he's protecting and promoting is that he's protecting his child.
Mm-hmm.
But you literally, by sharing this information, yeah, you literally put a crosshairs on her back.
Right.
You put a target on her back. It's just her first year in college. Like, what do you think? Like, how, if there was someone interested in her, seriously, Right. How can she believe that they're seriously interested in her and not just trying to be the target, not just trying to be the one? You know,
like this just messes so much up.
Oh my God. But yeah. What I was hoping for, I guess I'm going to get a red table talk, was someone. I was like, there's no way. T.I. is connected to too many people in the industry. There's no way someone didn't call him, text him, and be like, bruh, you're fucking up. That's not how any of that works. This is why the world's upset with you. And for him to turn this into a red table talk, sure, whatever. I already know. If you're sitting down at the table, have you ever watched that show? Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you're sitting at a table with those three, it's a wrap.
Right.
Come prepared. I feel like he, because by now he's done his homework. So this is, it's a clout move. This is a way for him to repair his brand. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that he understands that this isn't something you just kind of like gloss over and like everybody get over. No, this does deserve your attention.
Right.
This does deserve a conversation. And there are a lot of men out here defending that were defending him vehemently.
Yeah.
So I'm so like, I'm so, now I know this table, this red table talk's coming. Oh, great. You guys get to watch him eat his words, because he's the same words you were defending, and you're morons.
Right. Because there's no way he's going to be able to sit. He's going to sit there and be allowed to back that.
Nah. He's going to come through very apologetic.
The thing, this is where I feel like I was just starting to like T.I. again. Mm-hmm. It's like situations like this kind of remind me of the T.I. that was okay with Iggy Azalea saying that she was a runaway slave master. Like, I'm like, it's like, up. It's like, you, I'm like, oh, right. Like, you're the same guy. Like, you're the same guy who was okay with this. So it's kind of like, I was starting to like you, but I'm being reminded that you're the guy who brought us Iggy Azalea. So
Jesus.
That, and that's unforgivable.
Iggy Azalea is unforgivable. Wow. Whew.
But it's like, not only brought us Iggy Azalea, but was like okay with her saying that.
Yeah.
Like all kinds of crazy stuff.
Man. So I'm anxious. I feel like I wish we could do like a live watch and reaction to the red table talk.
That would be cool.
We gotta get the technology together. Yeah. Speaking of which.
Tech talk.
I was able to get on a conference call, video conference call, with my very good homie, Mr. Sonny James, DJ Mr. Sonny James, dope ass DJ from Philly, who is now working at Serato. For those of you that don't know, Serato is the premier DJ software. We've been using it for quite some time now. They most recently have dropped a production software called Serato Studio. Zion, do you have it?
No, I've.
Okay.
No.
Have you even heard of it?
No, not aside from you.
Okay, I got to get you up on it.
Yes.
Serato Studio is amazing. The interface, this was going to blow your mind.
I'm ready. Interface innovation always gets me excited.
It's innovation. So you remember, you tried to teach me Ableton.
Yes.
Femstar tried to teach me Ableton. Who was it? DJ Next Malin offered to teach me Ableton. He was doing classes. I goofed around on Fruity Loops, MTV Music Generator. Basically, once things went digital, I got lost in the sauce.
Understandably.
This program, just opening it up and looking at it, I was like, oh,
familiar.
It's very intuitive. And the reason it's familiar, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
It looks like Adobe Premiere.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm like picturing that. So it's like, how?
Yes. It looks like Adobe Premiere. I'm going to swing my computer around so you can take a look at it.
Okay.
Serato Studio is dope as hell, Z. So I downloaded the beta. And I didn't play with it at all during the beta. And then they released the full version, and Sonny was like, have you checked it out? Have you checked it out? Have you checked it out? And he kept asking me, make sure you check it out. And then finally he was like, yo, what are you doing? Listen, if you need me to give you a walkthrough, I can do that.
What?
Zion is now looking at it. So like, yeah.
It looks like you're about to make a video.
Right. It looks like you're building scenes.
Wow, that's insane.
Right. And that's how you're building beats.
And it's like, that looks like it's a DAW, but it actually looks like an app.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
So imagine like building the different parts of your beat with the different layers, like you would stack right. video, but it's instruments. So this is my intro. Mm. This is my verse. This
yeah,
is my hook.
I feel like just like for this people who are outro. Like visual learners, that's yes, like gonna be.
It's amazing. So he sat on the phone with me for like an hour. Mm. No, the video chat, maybe hour and a half. It was right. close to 2 hours. And he built a beat with me. He just showed me the different steps. Mm. And I was blown away. Yeah. Took a couple notes. But again, the program is very intuitive. It's like they thought of everything. Right. It really did. So when they sent this thing out for a couple people to try out, someone said to them, hey, how come I can't sidechain on this thing?
Gotcha. That was the phrase.
You mentioned sidechaining to me before, and I was like, what is the what?
It will literally turn a song into something else. Like, it will, like, it's just like it comes in clutch. You just got to know how to use it.
Z. So, when he explained to me, he was like, you know, like, he broke it down. He's like, you know, like, Kate, you know how to use it a lot. He started mentioning other people. He said it's like when you hear the, like different parts of the drums are isolated and everything ducks down.
Yeah.
And the vocals sometimes are used on vocals and everything will duck down around. He's at that side chain. And I was like, oh, yeah. The internet does that a lot. Like, yeah, I know what you're talking
right,
about.
Right.
He was like, oh, yeah, we've included that.
Oh, wow.
Right. So he said this thing used to be a 10 step program, 10 mm-hmm. step operation. He was like, no, we've included it.
Wow.
Yeah. So you can just side chain at will on this thing.
Yeah, see, now that's crazy, because the way that sidechain is usually set up is where you have to get a compressor mm-hmm. and set it up for sidechaining. Oh my God. Rarely is there a sidechain device.
Right.
It's like
right.
you have to do work to get to being able to sidechain.
Right.
So, wow, I've never like used anything where it's like sidechain already.
Right. Wow. Sidechain down.
Honestly.
So yeah, not trying to do a commercial for Surround Studio, but it's a commercial for Surround Studio.
They deserve it.
Yeah.
Sidechain, like that, just that in itself is actually wild to me. Like, because it's like you can download like a compressor that helps you mm-hmm. sidechain, but mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, that's like that sounds like a first to me.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I could be wrong, but that sounds like a first.
Oh, yeah. They put a lot into this app. It's super dope. I'm looking forward to opening up my schedule, dedicating some time, blocking out some time each week to spend with this program, delving back into production. Just as a DJ, I've been taking notes I've been DJing for almost 3 decades. I've been taking notes for the last 2 decades. Mm-hmm. I'd hear a song like, oh, you know, it would be dope to do with this, and I'd write it down. Or I put it in my phone in a note. I used to have like one note in my iPhone where it was nothing but song flip ideas.
And nice.
I want to grab this vocal from this rap song and turn this into an EDM song. Like, mm. you know, so now I get a chance to go back and revisit some of those ideas.
Right.
And, you know, and get it cracking.
Yeah, so. I feel like the visual aspect and the fact that they're incorporating just a sidechain
yeah.
tool.
Yeah.
That's going to change
a yeah. lot. Like your face. I knew you would get it. Mm-hmm. As soon as you saw it, you're like, what?
Yeah, because
it literally like looks like Premiere.
Yeah, like there's a lot of people who learn like interfaces better or just anything better when it's like visual and you can just like bring it and
yep.
look at it as you're building it. So yep. I feel like I'm stoked to try it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm excited. All right, so now it's about that time. We're going to jump into the main project. Tinashe, Songs For You. Tinashe is 26 years old. This is her fourth album, Aquarius, Night Ride, and then Joyride. singles from this album, Die a Little Bit, Touch and Go. She is signed to Roc Nation / RCA, and she's my new A. Marie.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's who you meant when you said that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, she is off of RCA.
Is she?
Yes. So Songs For You, like, she's signed to Roc Nation now.
Management.
Yeah. Right. But Songs For You was her first, well, not her first, but the first self-release in a very long time.
Dope.
Because she was in, like, a situation with RCA, and it seemed as if she was signed to the wrong division of RCA.
Oh, wow.
So she was being,
because,
like,
because she was a writer, a producer. Yeah.
And okay. They just, I guess, with her, like, her first stuff, the stuff that got her signed was more on the, it wasn't as poppy as, you know, 2-1.
Right.
Like, it was, so I guess they just had a hard time knowing where to put her, how to market her, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And a lot of her projects they weren't really doing as well. So for this to come out, it came out and it went number one.
Did it?
Yeah, like her first project away from her label, she goes amazing. Number one.
When did this drop? Did this just drop?
Yeah, just dropped.
That is dope,
4 days ago.
She's amazing. You've been telling me about her for God knows how long.
Yeah, I feel like she's been working really hard to, like, get out of that deal.
Yo, she is an all-around talent.
Yeah.
Period. I didn't know she was acting, too.
Yeah, and she's, like, theater. Like, she's a play.
Yeah, so it's Broadway. Yeah. Like, she's an all-around talent. She really is. So my picks from this album, Save Room For Us, Life's Too Short.
Yes.
Hopscotch.
Huh.
Whew. And my, bonus, Perfect Crime.
Yes. Okay. I feel that. Mine were, Feelings, mm-hmm. Life's Too Short, Perfect Crime, and Link Up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
is it the one with Gucci?
Link Up. Nah. I think that might be
with Black.
Yeah, Black is on Touch and Go.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
But yeah. Though I have, like, a stern 4 tracks from this project that I like, mm-hmm. it's still not my favorite Tinashe project.
You prefer? Let me guess. Night Ride.
Yes, that's Damn. That's like my Night Ride and the mixtapes from before she got signed. Okay. Those are like my go-to.
Okay.
But I still really appreciate this project, and I feel like it's really solid, and I guess I'm just really happy that she managed to go number one her first.
This is dope.
Her first try, like, out of a label is, like, it went number one after, like, 3 projects that just, like, dwindled down the charts.
This is a project I'm looking forward to listening to just throughout the week, just having it in my ears. I want to get super familiar with it. I'm anxious to play some of this stuff out this coming weekend. I'm really excited about this project. This is dope. I'm happy for her. I'm happy it went number one.
Yeah. The rollout for it was really interesting to me, especially just, like, coming from the perspective of an independent artist with, like, and she had, like, a platform. Right. So what she did was, like, leading up to the release, like, nobody knew when it was coming out. She just throw these parties where it was like kind of like first come, first serve. Yes. Mm-hmm. I can't talk. And, like, she would play the album just, like, for a select few people.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And just, like, all over, and just, like, giving people an idea of what her first independent release in a long time
would be. And what was the feedback that you were seeing online?
Like, it was doing, like, people were stoked for it.
This is dope.
So it's just, like, with that being the rollout and then seeing how well it actually did, like, how people really took to it as far as purchasing it and, like, streaming it. It was crazy.
Yeah. How happy are you?
I'm really excited, because it's like just like seeing, like, a lot of my favorite artists go, like, through, like, bad, like, mm-hmm. label situations, mm-hmm. and then to see, like, one where as though they get out of the label and then they, like, have, like, their first legit, like, successful project. Yeah. I was like, wow,
it's like, it's, hey, doable. I've been right all this time. I'm really fresh,
right?
I'm out here. Yeah. I recommend this album, guys, please. Tinashe, Songs For You. There's no one to compare her to. Anyone that you're going to, I'll put it to you like this. Anyone that you might compare her to, she actually influenced them.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
thinking about a lot of the artists,
yeah,
a lot of the specifically like female artists that came out
after the last 5 years,
yeah, after her like way, yeah, after the last 5 years, and thinking about where she was at in like 2011, mm-hmm. just that trappy ambient yep. sound, like
that's all her.
She's definitely one of the pioneers for that.
Are y'all hearing that? 2011,
yeah,
wasn't there a Timbaland situation at some point?
I'm not sure.
Am I making that up? Or maybe I'm making that up. 2011.
It's very possible, though.
It's 2011, guys. That's how far back the sound that is the sound. That's how long ago she's been doing it. So, yes.
Yeah, between her and Travis Scott. Because they worked together a lot, like, earlier on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Tinashe, man. Do yourselves a favor. Bump some Tinashe. All right. So, before we close it on out, collabs.
Yes.
My dream collab, Ty Dolla $ign and the Free Nationals.
That's perfect. Yeah, like that's, I feel like that should already exist.
Right.
Like it just right. goes like there's, yeah.
Yeah, I want that. I want to hear that.
Ever since you showed me Beach, was it called Beach
yeah.
House?
Yeah.
Three, was it part three?
Three.
Yeah, like I've been sold on Ty Dolla $ign.
Yo.
Because I'm like, but I just wish that he would like, what was that, the song that you, is it called Genie in a Bottle?
Or Message in a Bottle.
Message
the
in
music
a Bottle.
Soul Child.
Flip. Right,
not
right.
Flip, but.
It sounded like it could have been one of his
Yeah,
songs.
It was like music had to have written the song. Like, what are we talking about here?
I wish he would explore that a little bit
yeah.
more. And
yeah.
I did like So Am I. That song was.
Yes.
Those two songs, like, I like it. I feel like with that project, he really did, like, you know, his commercial stuff and the mm-hmm. stuff that was going to do well with the GP. And then he got into just, like, himself as an artist and
yeah.
just yeah. having a more stripped back sound.
He was on, I think it was Come Down. Oh, excuse me. It's late, people. He was on Come Down Remix with Anderson .Paak. Like, killed it. Like, killed it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I want to hear him with the Free Nationals, especially with everything they're doing right now. Like, the vibe would be perfect. He's yeah. got a great voice. He's an excellent writer. Yeah. Give me some of that.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
And your dream collab?
With Salaam Remy and Sid.
This is sick.
I miss artist discovery Salaam Remy. Like the Salaam
yeah.
Remy who would find like a relatively unknown artist and like produce their debut project.
Yeah.
Like when he, like the main instance of this that stands out to me is when him and Amy Winehouse linked up for Frank.
Right.
And to me, that's like her best, that's my favorite album from her.
Interesting.
Cause it's like, it's again, it's that jazz hip hop fusion and it's
right.
not like forced and it's
right.
not 100% sample based, but I don't know. I just kind of, I miss that vibe. Like I miss that vibe with like upcoming artists, and I feel like Salaam Remy's like the person to do it.
He's
especially
amazing.
Now because he knows how to play every instrument ever.
Yeah,
like the drums, the piano,
the theremin. He plays a few. <The theremin>. Yeah, Salaam's a beast, yo.
Yeah,
that would be a dope ass project.
Yeah,
that'd be a dope ass project. Well, all right, we did it.
The first double feature.
Boom. So this actually counts as episode 8 and 7.
Technically.
No, is it 8 and 7? Or is it... No, it's 9 and 8.
Yeah,
episodes 9 and 8. So we got 7 more to close out this first season.
We're on a roll.
We're on a roll, guys. We're on a roll. Hope you guys enjoy it. Yes. More importantly, hope you enjoy the time with your family coming up this Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes, the holidays.
The holidays. Holidays. make sure, and I'm very serious about this, in case you have any doubts, understand your family has come together to hear all of your political ideas. So have all political discussions right there in
yes.
front of everyone. Let them know who you're voting for. Let them know who they should and shouldn't be voting for. Really get it out there.
Wow, is this like the holidays or are we like trying to incite riots? That seems like a good way to get like people fighting.
Be passionate and then ask for someone to passionate mac and cheese.
I feel like somebody's going to end like taking that advice. Somebody's going to end up getting a thing of mac and cheese like thrown at them.
Speaking of mac and cheese, Zion has been celebrated year after year. for his excellent mac and cheese skills. This year, MJ,
I can't wait.
We'll be making a mac and cheese.
I heard some whispers of that a few nights ago.
She be putting Gouda in there.
I can't wait.
All types. And then I've been commissioned to make oxtails.
Yes.
So we're going to be doing that. And not them vegan oxtails that y'all been seeing on the interwebs. Mm. I don't do that. I need real tail of an ox.
Real tail of an ox.
All right, y'all. We will catch y'all next month.
Yes.
Man, we'll be in December.
We'll be almost Christmased.
All right. We'll catch y'all next time.
All right.
Peace.